Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Trampoline Hall podcast. I'm your host, Misha Globerman. Trampoline Hall is a lecture series that takes place in a bar. It's usually in Toronto, sometimes in other cities. People give lectures on all kinds of subjects, with the one restriction being that they cannot speak on subjects on which they are professionally expert. It cannot be their job to know the thing. After each lecture, we take questions from the audience. This is the Trampoline Hall podcast. The format of the podcast has changed over time. It was weekly, it was monthly, it was we monthly, which isn't a thing. And right now it is seasonally, which is to say that the way that we're doing it is we're going to release the podcast in little short seasons of 6 weekly episodes. So you'll get a whole barrage of episodes, if your notion of barrage is something that happens for about a half an hour every week. And then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll do another six episode mini season, and we'll keep doing that forever, pretty much. In this season, all of the lectures were chosen by Margot Williamson. She is the person who went through the Trampoline Hall archives and chose these 6 episodes for you. If you like the podcast and you're in Toronto, you should come check out the show. We have an email list you can join up to find out when the show is. I think that's enough for now. Let's get on to this episode's lecture. As always, it might contain mature language if you like that sort of thing. This episode, the topic is quails, and the lecturer is Andrew Mbaruk.
The quail is an animal. Of the animals, it is one of the animals that is called a bird. And as a bird, it is variously different from the human. Here are some examples. Instead of arms and hands and prehensile digits, the quail has wings and a beak, which goes instead of a mouth, which forms words like the following. The quail's eggs are a delicacy, and the quail is eaten as poultry. Quail are spelt Q-U-A-I-L, but if you switch the last two letters around and add another letter, quail become qualia, and then quail represent the sensible, more generally. So in order to meditate on this way of understanding the quail, which is crucial to the various things I will say about quail now, you should close your eyes and imagine a series of quail just in like a void, like in outer space, and they're all each a different color. And in this way, the quail, like this situation, works in the same way as like the rainbow on the cover of Dark Side of the Moon, or the post-Diluvian Jehovah Covenant rainbow in Genesis, where each quail represents a different wavelength of light by which everything that we see is constituted. Quail, and then others, and then just the entirety, the totality of alterity. So with that preparation of the quail for what follows, I will go into a series of ways in which the quail is represented by humans. And all of them are different ways of preparing the quail for human consumption. That's basically how this is going to work. So after Genesis follows the book that is in the Bible, which is after Genesis, which is called Exodus. And in that book, the Israelites are exodusing, and they are given by Jehovah manna to eat. And manna is delicious, and they are not able to run out of this manna. And it tastes pretty good. It tastes kind of like honey mixed with coriander seed. But the Israelites are not satisfied by this delicious manna. And God overhears them and says, fine, and he sends them these quail. But he is like really remarkably passive-aggressive in that he actually gives them this like plague of quail, similar to the frogs and locusts. And there are enough quail to like fill this room, and they suffocate underneath all of these quail, and they are buried there. That place is called Kibroth Hatava, which means the graves of craving, because they, So after that, I was going to also talk about like other ways in which the quail is prepared. The quail is hunted, and it is hunted using dogs, and those are the dogs that are called the bird dogs, and those are the dogs that they use to hunt the quails. But this is also a way of referring to like trying to like get your sex on with other people, like bird dogging chicks. So this is another way of thinking of the quail. So like when the Everly Brothers sing the song Bird Dog in 1958 and say like bird dog get away from my quail, but what they don't know is they're participating in like they're enmeshing American teenagers in this way of thinking about the quail that goes back very far. Like, because in like early modern English, quail was a way of referring to prostitutes. Prostitutes used to be called quails. And then going even further back to anciently Greek times, the god who is called Zeus was trying to get his sex on with the Titan goddess who is called Asteria. And Asteria was not into it, so she went away from Zeus, and Zeus, in a petulant magic rage, turned Asteria into a quail, but into an enormous quail, because Titan goddesses are huge, so this was a very big quail. Although Titan goddesses' bodies are a bit smaller than Titan god bodies, so by god standards, maybe not. But so a quail, this enormous quail is floating around unfixed, and eventually, out of boredom, I guess, turns into an island. And the island, because quail are called ortyx by the Greeks, is called Ortygia. But then later it gets called Delos. So that is another quail thing. So I guess there's a couple more things. The quail, quail fights. So I've done the female quail, and there's also the male quail. They put these quails into rings, and then the quail is like in this like gladiator situation with another quail or quails. And any time that one of the quails leaves the ring, the eccentric quail is beaten with a stick, and that stick is the stick that is called the quail striking stick. That is what they called it, and they just beat the quail down after it leaves the ring. Quails in the future. What does the future hold for quails? Scientists have, in fact, using organic matter, made for the first time a living, not living, but a replica using living cells of a kval. A kval is a jellyfish in German, but it is only a matter of translating jellyfish into German and it is a kaval, which is a step towards generating an actual like living quail that is made by humans. And they made this kaval using rat cells. So similarly, it's just a matter of taking these rat cells and assembling them in order to make a kaval. But scientists have conceded that this art of making kavals is still only a qualitative art. So it's possible to recreate the qualities of the kaval in order to make something that resembles the kaval, but it's still not actually, it's not really actually a representation of the kaval. That can only be done by two kvals. Like, they can make other kvals. And similarly with quails. But we will see what happens. We'll see what happens in the future for quail in relation to genetic experiments. That's my presentation.
Andrew Mbarak, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to the Trampoline Hall podcast. I'm Misha Goldman. Up next, the Q&A.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Are there any questions? Are you ma'am in the back? Yes.
Where do the quail fights happen?
Quail fights happen all over the place. I was thinking just of ancient Greece, but they also happened, like the Romans also started like doing quail fights, as well as like getting other things like cranes and cocks, obviously, as well to fight each other. And it was done in Asia as well. And,
so if you wanted to go to a quail fight, you could go to ancient Greece or ancient Rome or does it still exist anywhere now? Do you know?
I have no idea. Okay. No.
But definitely not. It's not like as big now, I guess.
I found out about it when I was reading Aristophanes' The Birds, and there was a person, apparently like a political figure named Medeus, and he was known for he loved quail fights. He was really into it. So Aristophanes publicly dissed him just in the middle of the birds.
By being like, oh, this guy likes quail.
There's Medeus, and he's now being referred to as the quail because everyone's really into birds at that point, in the play. So he's named himself after the quail because he always liked to use the quail striking stick to whack quails.
All right. So that's good to know. yes, you, ma'am. Yes. What accounts for the modeling spots on the outside of a quail egg? I think the question on everyone's mind.
I have no idea. I think that they're like unto the island of Delos, which is this weird shape which floated around. I don't know.
That was a real roller coaster ride of certainty. From I have no idea to an incredibly great theory giving up in 5 seconds.
I'm not an ornithologist.
So they might in some way connect to the islands. What were the name of the islands?
The island Delos. It used to be a quail, and now it's an island.
Right. So it might be the case that something that's about to be a quail, like a quail egg, might resemble it. But that's once again it's speculation, I suppose. Any other questions? Yes, you, ma'am. Yes.
Would you say that quail are tasty?
Would you say quail are tasty? Is the question? In your experience?
I ate a quail one time,
and I don't remember, but I think that some kind of weird Eucharistic thing happened, and like that's why I've noticed quail since. Like.
So you're left not with the memory of their taste,
no.
But with a sense of their importance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So that's a powerful food review, as they go. Yes, you, sir, yeah.
Was that the genesis of your quail interest, or was there other quail?
The question is whether eating that quail was, and I'll repeat the word, was the genesis of your, because I feel every repeated word should be repeated as many times as we can. Just should be a genesis of your quail interest, or did your quail interest predate eating
when quail? I ordered the quail at a restaurant, I thought it was hilarious that I was ordering quail, and I started making quail puns, and that's how I ended up, like, thinking about quail and noticing.
For example?
You want examples? He wants examples of quail puns.
I was worried that this presentation might be a quailier. there aren't that many. It reminds me of all the question words, like the Latinate question words, like qual, quel, yeah. Name pulled quail.
It's funny. It seems so unfair that you get a bigger laugh with the less precise English pun, whereas the so well constructed Latin puns, people are just like, yeah, I guess. No one really laughs as much as the big Latin puns as they used to. So there you go. So that answers both of your questions, which we somehow let slip through the cracks. Any other questions? Any other questions about quail? Yes.
My question is more about the rainbow of quail.
Mm-hmm. So the question is about the rainbow of quail, yeah.
I'm just picturing the cover of Dark Side.
You're picturing Dark Side of the Moon.
That's got the rainbow, but then it's got kind of the overarching. Mm-hmm. Like, is there an overarching?
So in Dark Side of the Moon, just to be clear, what is it? It's white light and then a prism and then a rainbow?
Something like that.
And you're like, what's, if the quail are the rainbow, what's the white light? What's the thing?
I thought maybe the presenter was talking about the prism. Meta-quail.
Right, is there a thing that is like all the quails together and then breaks up into quails?
I just think that like the message of the rainbow in the Bible and the message of the rainbow on the cover of Dark Side of the Moon are similar about like about life. And like the different ways that you can imagine quail to think about them in a more like, I don't know, interesting spiritual or like stonery way. Is like is thinking of these multicolored quail in like just this sort of void, but like you could also imagine them like on a farm, but like a farm for like quail that are inherent in everything and abstracted from reality onto this farm in like outer space.
Does that answer your question? No, it doesn't. What more did you want, sir? Is there more to be said?
There's nothing. Well, like you can. I think it's a. It would. I was just thinking about this earlier today. It could be an interesting way to like make yourself fall asleep. Would be like to like contemplate a series of quail.
Could fall asleep by contemplating a series of quail. That would be like another use.
Yeah,
we could consume them.
Yeah.
Is in the service of our sleep.
We could
quail ourselves.
And then maybe you would have like really fun quail-themed dreams. I don't know. I haven't thought about that too much.
So clearly, there's even more. There is more to be thought about.
Yeah. Well,
quail-wise.
Yeah. Absolutely. And yeah.
How much do you think about quail? Like, is it something you think about a lot, or is it just sort of like, quail?
It's not something that I think about. It's something that I've been bombarded with since I started thinking about it. Like, I have 40 pages of just, like, notes on, like, quail. There's a song by Beethoven called Der Fachtelschlag, which is German for the quail, and it's just about the quail.
Right.
And it imitates the quail call, which is... But it attributes to...
Wait, so the quail call again? I'm sorry to interrupt. Okay.
He has somebody singing Fürchte Gott, Liebe Gott, or something, which is fear God or love God, but they can't speak English properly. And also in the second movement of the Sixth Symphony, that appears as well. There are a number of woodwinds that are imitating the different bird calls, and one of them is a quail. I think it's the oboe that goes like that, like. Shortly before, when I was talking to the other presenters about how I was going to do this thing, like right after that, I saw.
Oh yeah, just
like just after like putting together, like thinking about how I was going to talk about quail, like I saw just on the side of a building the words "The Quail" in huge letters, and then next to it a rendering of a quail with like a monocle or a magnifying glass or something.
And this what building was this? There's a building that just had the quail written on the side of it?
It was like a pub or a restaurant or a bistro.
Oh, okay,
or a
right. So it was called like, it was like called the Fox and Quail, and they were like, to hell with the
yeah,
fox.
Yeah, no, it was just called the Quail.
That guy quit.
Yeah.
I guess they could name a pub after one thing. I don't know why I imagine it's after two. So just to back up. So the question was, my question was, how much do you think about quail?
Oh, I don't think about quail. I don't think about them unless they appear, and then, but it just happens.
But it's constantly. Yeah. In your case, pretty much constantly. Whether it's
so, yeah, I guess I think about quail a lot.
Anything else that people would like to know? Yes, you, sir. What about quaaludes or quaaludes?
Yeah, I noticed that at some point.
I think a fair line of questions should just be, have you ever noticed this quail pun? And then you can say, yes, I have noticed this dot quail pun. What next?
Yeah, it's like a combination of like a quail and an aardvark or something.
It's a combination of quail and the aardvark?
Yeah,
because the aardvark is known as the
but just because there are two A's in quail.
Oh, because the two A's, of course. I'm so far behind you on this. Thank you. It's like, stupid. Right, okay. So yes, he has noticed. beyond that, yes, you, ma'am. Yeah. How long has this quail bombardment been happening for you personally?
2 years.
Oh. So this isn't like a lifelong thing. This is like a recent.
No, it's just 2 years, yeah.
And it started when you ordered the quail?
Just a bit after that.
And then it was just more. Well,
probably there were quail around me before, and I just didn't notice.
that really brought it in. All right. Yes. Anything else? Any other questions? Yes.
Why do you think humans love to eat them or hunt them?
Why do humans love to eat or hunt the quail so much?
The same reason that they like to mess with like everything.
Right.
Just sort of like the weird like human impulse to like anything that exists on Earth.
Right. So given that we like to eat and hunt everything, it'd be weird if we made an exception for quail.
Yeah. Like I think probably somebody like ate swans and it didn't work very well compared to like.
Right. So we don't eat swans because their meat is tough. Is that why?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Or we're just too embarrassed. They're so beautiful that we're embarrassed.
I don't know. I don't know why, but I don't know.
So we don't eat swan. You've eaten a swan.
I just know about this.
You just know about this through means that you'd rather not discuss. that their meat is very tough for reasons that you don't want to get into. Fair enough. No more. And so we're left having to eat quail. All right. Okay. Anything else? Any other questions that people would like? Any other? Yes, you, ma'am.
Are you bothered by the bombardment?
Are you bothered? Is it bombardment by quail? Is it a bother to you? Are you happy about it or neither?
I don't know. It's been fun to notice them like in everything. Although I think I've like mentioned every single thing I've thought of about quail.
None of us was disappointed. None of us was like, oh, that's not a lot about quail. I don't think. Like, no one's like, oh, is that all? Is that all he noticed? Just everything? But it's good to know. It is reassuring in a way to know that there's not even
more. There might be more. It might just never end. I don't know.
All right. Good luck to you finding it. Mm-hmm. Let's wrap it up there. Ladies and gentlemen, right. Andrew Mbarek.
Trampling Hall was created in the 21st century by Sheila Hedy and is hosted by me. This episode's lecture was originally chosen by Lynn Crosby. All the episodes this season were handpicked by Margot Williamson. Our podcast is produced by Josh Block. Our theme music composed by Matt Smith. Kate Bars is our coordinating producer. Our podcast intern is Quentin Bradshaw. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook. If you enjoyed the podcast, it really helps us out if you leave a positive review or rating on iTunes. So thanks for doing that. I'm Misha Globerman. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.